Okay, may I have a motion to return the meeting?
So moved.
All in favor? All in favor, second?
Aye.
Aye?
Second.
Okay. All right. Administration. Mandy, what you got for us?
My budget's pretty basic. The full personnel-related costs are in line with everyone else. I do have the land use plan in my budget, that project. Property and liability insurance, they recommended that I allow for at least a 10% increase. So we built that in, plus a little extra for any new equipment and vehicles that we get throughout the year. That comes out of my budget as well, the difference to add those. Supplies. My supplies are up $2,000, and the reason being is because this decal mailing every year goes up and it increases, and it's always the paper's more, the ink is more, the postage is more, and it always ends up being more each year. And so I've added $2,000 to cover the increase on that. And then building maintenance. My building maintenance is up almost $1,900 in each fund for AC unit repairs, because we had a lot of unexpected AC unit repairs. I am hoping that that fixes itself with the upcoming thing.
We are.
But we don't have the guarantee. And this year, my building maintenance budget was really eaten alive with AC repairs to this building and unexpected electrical issues or repairs because of the AC units and things like that. And so I actually have a couple of projects that I didn't get to complete. So I figure if I don't have the AC repairs, maybe I can do those projects next year. But that's why I have that extra in my building maintenance.
Question on that building maintenance. As we do things in the back for the parking thing, which would probably be painting in a new, maybe a new air unit, I'm not sure. Do you have any plans on that in here?
Because that is not in here.
So we should probably...
We can talk with Arlen about that, because he's probably going to set that up separately.
Yeah, and we'll have to look at whether that's going to be this year, you know, if it's happening between now and June 30th, or...
Okay, that's a good point. And I would, I'm not sure if we could get that as part of ROT recovery. I don't know if we could do that.
Yeah, that might be a stretch.
Yeah, that might be a stretch.
We have other things that, you know, we'll...
Okay.
What's this for, Craig? I'm sorry.
Sorry?
What was it for?
This is for, instead of paying them to find a place and rent a place at quite a high rate, we intended to put them in the back on the upper level. I've talked to Chief. He's going to get his stuff cleaned out of there. But there are two particular issues. One, it should probably be repainted. And secondly, there is an old standalone air unit wall, standalone unit for heating and cooling. And that unit looks like it's seen a much better day.
Yeah, that's that mini unit that's out the back side.
That's right.
Yeah, so the thought was is that as we put them there, instead of incurring the cost, we can get that area ready, and then it's ours for whatever we use it for in the future.
So is that going to be where people meet with them for issues or not?
Actually, they won't be meeting with them for issues. This stuff is all online. That is where they will maintain your equipment, charge your equipment each evening if they want to eat lunch there or something, or report there in the morning.
But it's not
there will be
people coming back there. Okay.
There won't be people going back there at all.
Okay. I do want a desk in that lower area, a desk area in that bottom part of that building.
Yeah.
They're going to use that section in the event someone does come, because
but it's not accessible.
Yeah, it's not accessible, and they don't need to be going upstairs.
No.
Okay. So
I mean, if they had to meet with someone down here, then we're covered by having them meet downstairs. It's all for that one room, kind of, basically.
Okay, well, we'll figure that out. We must have a used piece of something somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he said. All I need is a closet, actually.
Yeah, their enforcement person is the right person to meet with, I don't think.
There's a manager or someone.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. We'll work all those details out, but we also need to look at the bathroom situation over there. So there'll need to be a bathroom.
Mm, yeah.
That's probably a future item.
No, we got to talk about that. We need to talk about that outside of the budget, but we're not putting a bathroom over there. That doesn't make any, they can have a porta potty maybe, but we're not putting a bathroom over there because it would cost a whole lot because there's no sewer line all the way to the end of that building. So you have to tear through all the bays to get back to the sewer line or outside.
Well, that certainly would not be cost effective at all.
No, I mean.
Okay, we'll deal with that. As
it's equipment storage, if it's for meetings, then I guess the question is, what is it for, and then what kicks you into the bathroom requirement or not?
Because we're giving them an office space, but they have no bathroom access.
Yeah, okay, well, I didn't look at the contract, but I don't know why we're giving them exactly. I know we're trying to save ourselves money, yeah, which makes sense, but we just got to be smart about it.
There are other uses, right? You could tell them, hey, you can use the oceanfront park, or you can use our lobby.
Well, that's
lobby.
The question. Maybe you've got to tell us what the rules are.
We can use our lobby, but if they require it, but they will be out and about.
Because the police department lobby has a bathroom, which is open to the public, right?
Our department,
not right now.
Not right now because of COVID.
Yeah, but I mean.
Eventually, when COVID goes away, maybe?
Yeah,
it was planned.
Monday through Friday, it's open, yeah. But not during the weekend.
Not during the weekend.
And that's one thing we found out with those guys last year, is they need a place to go cool off and use the bathroom, because they were always coming in the TV. And
right.
It just won't be feasible from coming in there.
Okay.
But so we'll take a look at what those options may be. So, but the thought was we'll put them up there because it's available space. We'll figure out. I'd have to plant a few trees. Okay. All right. So that's not in there. Thank you. Keep going, Mandy.
Recycling, as you know from earlier, has moved out of my budget. So my budget looks like it's just decreased dramatically. It really hasn't. It's gone to Jimmy's budget. And then we're down on the retiree medical insurance as well. So do you want me to go to water fund for admin?
Yeah, that probably makes sense.
Okay.
That's on slide 11.
Thank you.
Again, same with the personnel-related cost. And then there's also my increase here for property and liability insurance, and then it mirrors itself with the building maintenance as well. That's up 11%. So I really don't have huge changes in my budget. Mainly just trying to prepare.
Soundproofing that room?
The soundproofing is up. It blends in so well, you didn't even notice. That got finished this week. It looks really nice. It is not soundproof. It is sound, it buffers that sound.
Okay.
So we can still hear out here a little bit. So we'll just have to keep it, let's not get too heated in there. And I think if we're going to have maybe a really hot topic, something, then we can go to the collaboration room or something. But I think it's better than what it was. It's a definite improvement. It's definitely an improvement on the space use in there. To try to do a class or webinars or conference calls, it's 100 times better. I did speak with the rep from Satellite Army that I worked with on this, and I said, if you come across used panels anywhere where someone's changing their color, or like when we've moved to the PD, they repurposed theirs, I would like to line the inside of this closet, and I think that will make a huge difference as well. So that's kind of, hopefully I'll have a little extra in my budget because we won't have so many AC repairs, and I will be able to do that because it's not as many to go into the closet as it was in there.
Does the collaboration room have the soundproofing?
It doesn't, but it's far enough away from this.
It's far enough away that people wouldn't see it, because it has the TV, it has everything, it has comfortable chairs, and there's plenty of space for the people who are usually in a closed session. Okay. We certainly don't want people to hear the attorney giving us advice.
Or your reaction.
Or
Mandy, your position is still in the budget, but not funded, correct?
My position is not funded, it's still frozen, yes.
Okay.
And then moving on to governing body.
I'll go back to slide eight, because council is split up between, just like admin and some of finance also, split between general fund and water sewer.
Okay.
I do want to say one more thing, real quick before we move into governing body. On my IT line item, my costs stayed the same this year because BC3 tells me that they're reducing my bill. So I shouldn't have an increase this year, but I do want, I'm waiting on one finalized thing from my rep with the vendor. I just want to make sure before I finalize my budget that I don't have any increase at all there. But I think I'm pretty well covered. Based on conversations.
Arlen, when we pay for leases to our friends across the river, where do we have that in our budget? Isn't that part of administration, or is that in another area?
Let's say water tower and the lagoon, that's in Jimmy's water and sewer operation.
Oh, so it's in Jimmy's portion of this.
And Joe Weeks Park is in the Parks and Rec budget.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And the new one for the ditches, that would be in Jimmy's then too, I would imagine.
Yeah, that would go into stormwater.
Now, if there's a fee for that field,
I
hope not, I guess where would that be going?
That would go into stormwater, which we've already had some fees or whatever at this point. I think we paid, I forget what the amount was.
Okay.
For that field?
For some lease review, they have administrative fees that you have to pay before they even give you a lease.
Answer.
Yeah, I had to sign a letter on that.
Did you sign the letter for the to use that?
Yeah,
field?
That's done, okay. And Mandy took care of that.
Mandy, was that forwarded to them?
Yeah, okay. Forwarded.
Just sorry for the aside.
Yep, so that is taken care of. But there was, a $4,000 fee for some of the requests that we had
that
going.
That was for the ditches.
Yeah,
it was a 25-year lease, though.
Yeah.
So that's for all the ditches?
Uh-huh, 25 years. For us to,
but it's like an administration fee. It's not the actual lease fee.
Right.
But
it's like for us to process the paper, it costs you $4,000 basically.
And so, what is that allows us to clean them out or just inspect them or both?
That, everything. But we have, of course, we have to give them. Tuesday, we're going to be doing this work.
So. We need to talk to them about looking at the one that goes through the Dow property. Because now that they've got exposure, you can see it right now. And we just need to check that clearance again. On the other side of Dow Road, where it drops in. And then it looked at high tide when I looked this past weekend, that it looks up a little bit more than...
You're talking about the one that they cut through from Settlers to Dow?
Yeah. Well, not on this side, on the other side, where it goes into the old Dow property cut that we walked back through and saw. Cleaning that out is going to, I don't know who's going to do that. That's going to be a big conversation with them. I don't know that it's short term, but we just need to look at it.
Okay.
And we probably need to talk to their guy in person over here, walk it with them.
Yeah.
Well, they're up in CB right now, I think, because those woods on Dow's have definitely cleared out in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
There's a pretty quick bend after it comes in here, as I recall.
Well, the bend's fine that it drops off, but what I'm worried about is that concrete sloughway has got a bunch of stuff in it they've never cleaned out. And when they cleaned out around it, I think they might have got some stuff in it.
Oh, they definitely did, yeah.
Yeah, and that could be the problem. Right, so, but we want to walk that with one of their guys, I think, their civilian guy probably, and just talk about, okay, how are we going to do this long term? Because if it got blocked up, it would be a Dow Road problem. It would get to Dow Road probably. Actually, it would probably go back now that that's so deep. I don't know. We just,
I'll
talk about it. Just see if we can arrange some time before it gets too hot and no one wants to walk right there.
And the snakes come back.
For the snakes, right.
Before all the snakes are out. Probably already are. Okay.
Do we know whether or not the Mitsu people that were doing all the clear cutting back on both sides, if one of their tractors took that chunk out of the bike lane that's down in the dip on Dell Road? because you've come from the north, brought them down and come, and there's a little dip before you come up to K. Right down in that low area, bike lane, there's a chunk out of the side, the right side of the bike lane, that you got to be paying attention if you were to hit that.
Well, even if they did, I'm sure it'd be a DOT issue at this point.
I think that's where that bike goes in the road, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that whole area right there looks like it's sinking.
Yeah, it's sinking right there, yeah.
For the past couple of years, it's been sinking.
I don't know if we can contact the...
You're talking about on the west side of Dow or the east side?
The west.
Yeah, yeah. That's where the hole's going right there.
4K.
Yeah.
It's on the west side and the west side of the bike lane. It's over where the grass starts. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people use that in a day, but...
I'm sure so. Yeah. And it'll just be...
I just have to concentrate. Yeah. As I start down in that area, I keep thinking, okay, where's that spot? Where's that spot? And I'm looking, because I know it's big enough to... You can be over a couple of inches in. And you're going downhill, so most people's speed is up. You get into 20 miles an hour to hit that thing.
You know that, Arlen, just from a perspective, the road is a state route, but it belongs on the land of Matsu. I think the last time we did that road, the state paid for its cover.
The state pays for it.
So if we have an issue with the road, we really don't have, we're not dealing with Matsu, we're dealing with the state?
That's right, correct.
Okay, just wanted to get that clear in my mind in case we do run into an issue where we get a road problem.
Well, I'll bring it up with the NPO also and see maybe they got $2,000 laying around and get DOT.
Yeah, we should tell DOT that there's an issue.
And you talk to the division office. Talk to the division office and tell them you've got a problem on that road.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Do you know what you think I have
reached out to them several times, with no response. So.
I didn't get a response on my last message to them either.
Well, we've used Bill Rabin to help us several times because he's chair of the transportation committee. So if we do need something, we can reach out to him. No, he's always had that role.
Meaning that procedure.
Yeah, that transportation role. He sits on that. He's the chair.
It's possible it may fall on deaf ears because that stretch from the lights all the way to K is not marked as a bike lane.
Okay.
Whereas there is bike lane marking.
Frankly, I know who we'll call. We'll go that way if we need it. We'll go to Senator Rabin, start there. Okay, any other questions? Anything else, Mandy?
Governing body?
Yep.
For the best part, everyone's salary, vehicle allowance, telephone, travel training, I left all of that the same. Memberships are the same. Your workers' comp insurance went up just a tad, but Arlen puts that in there. I don't have any control over that.
And for every department, the workers' comp right now is an estimate. We don't have to get the premium for next year.
And it's the same both budgets for me, for you guys, general fund and water fund. Arlen, do you want to talk about contributions?
If you want to skip to the very last slide.
Okay. Very last 36. Slide. Okay.
36.
Yep.
So this summarizes what has come in for requests from outside organizations. So that's part of the general fund council budget. And I'll just kind of run through what actually is included, which is $6,700 at this point. And that is a request of $3,000 from the Federal Point Historic Preservation Society, $1,200 from Island of Lights, and $2,500 from Friends of Fort Fisher. And what I have on the slide there is, you know, how much they asked for last year, and the actual fiscal year 2021 is what council funded last year. I'll also, you see in red the one thing about the chamber request. Right now, I have no amount in there. I think, as I mentioned earlier this morning, because it was received after the deadline. The deadline that was published as part of the budget calendar was all applications were due by March 5th. We gave from the period of February 5th to March 5th to get applications prepared and submitted. That application was received on March 15th. So for at this point in time, I have that as zero. I think as council was aware after the last council meeting that the actual request from the chamber is $42,500. So my beginning point, again, for the request from outside organ is everyone that met the deadline and the full amount that they requested, it's then up to council how much they want to fund for each request.
I would tell you that I spoke to Steve, who's the assistant chairman, I guess, of the Center of Commerce. I told him that we would be looking at that. However, that going to the ROT cost of the portion that we actually have control over was probably not the right answer. Given, and thank you for the information, because I did use that. For every dollar, we get to use essentially 45 cents, which goes to advertising. 30 cents goes for, I believe, our use. And, oh no, 30 cents goes to the beach fund, and 25 cents of every dollar we get to use, and we have to use that to support our work, to support our guests, right, and visitors. Therefore, that I did not see that there would be a lot of space for that. However, if they wished to talk to the TDA about using some of their 45 cents of every dollar for that we wouldn't have an issue with it. And I think that was where council was on this point. I don't know if there's, since we're on that point, is there any other feedback here on this? If not, we should probably get back to Debbie and tell her that is our position.
I'm fine with the concerts, but that's about it.
Yeah, so the actual fiscal year 2021 dollars for the concerts and other things?
Well, it's just the concerts, and it was actually reduced. I mean, they had requested 9,800, and then because they went down from 6 to 4, right, the actual amount we paid out was that 6,535, and it was really just because of the reduced schedule.
Yeah, we tried to do 4. I don't know that they did get 4.
They did.
I think they did.
They did get 4.
9,800, a more realistic number.
Well, yeah, that's what it's been the last couple of years. I think in what was actually provided at the last council meeting, it was for that.
It was 8,800.
Was 10,000.
Oh, okay.
In that proposal that was.
One of those was the tank?
Well, I'm not even. Right now, I'm just looking at solely at the Fort Fisher concert series, and that proposal was $10,000. Yeah, there were some other things, a kite festival, $5,000. Something else, too. Beach Music Festival,
$5,000. Right.
But to keep it consistent with what it's been in prior years, it would really just be the.
The fact
have you
is.
Asked for money for Beach Music Festival before?
The Beach Music Festival. It's a paid entry item.
Right.
So the ones that we support has been the things that have been free for our citizens.
Right, and it's solely been the Fort Fisher concert.
Right.
It's all endorses the Fort Fisher concert.
I don't have any problem with us including the $9,800 back in the budget.
Sir?
The next meeting of the Chamber of Marketing Committee is this Wednesday morning, which I'll be at.
That's just our marketing committee. That's not the chamber, right?
True.
Right.
Yeah. It is dealing with.
Yeah, don't mix them apart.
I mean, the marketing committee's in charge of putting the plans together for the
right.
All the others.
I agree with Arlen.
Events.
If if you're looking for consensus, that we support the Fort Fisher Beach Music Festival. And I don't know why the kite that has been free forever now costs Cure Reach $5,000, so I don't support that. And I don't support the Carolina Beach Music Festival, which is a paid event. And I definitely don't support paying for a building to remodel it that we wouldn't even own. So
part I'm one, with Alan. Part one, because there's going to be more repairs.
I think I'm with Alan. In fact, I know I'm with Alan. There you go.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you okay with them going to the TDA for that money out of advertising, or do you still...
Yeah, I'm totally fine. If the TDA says that they justify that as a marketing expense, then... I'm up for our marketing committee to come back and tell us here's our plan, right? So if the TDA says, yeah, you could use it for that, then the marketing committee has to tell us what's the most valuable.
Because we don't have control of that money.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Are there restrictions on that money?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If they went and asked, I'm fine with them asking. And then once they get the answer, then the marketing committee tells us how they want to set up their budget, which I'm fine with. So I'll make a motion that we add back in supporting the Fort Fisher Festival and nothing else from the request.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 And add to last year's $9,800, not the $10,000 requested. Sorry, I wasn't clear on my motion.
Yep.
Are you okay with that?
Sure.
Modification?
Yep.
And then for the other organizations, again, I've included what they requested and what we've typically paid in the past 4 years.
Did the Historic Preservation Society give us a reason for the...
They always ask for more than... I mean, as you see, last year or this current year, whereas now they asked for 5,000 and we gave 15. They're typically a higher request, and council has funded 1,500 for a number of years now.
You can look, we've been consistent over the years.
Yeah.
You want to keep that consistency? Do you want to add a slight amount more? What's the will of council? Island of Lights. They're requesting what we give them, so that's fine. What's that?
Do we want to make a donation to help out the people that were displaced from the fire?
Issues that it's not something from Curie Beach and using town funds for something outside of it.
So, I mean, much of the help center support that has come from, Parks and Rec, however the help center uses that, I mean, it's within their purview. Also, the Easter Sunrise Service collected money for the help center and for the victims. So we can't use town money for that, but everybody can certainly make their own contribution as they see fit.
I'll make a motion that we fund the Federal Point Historic Preservation Society and the Friends of Fort Fisher at what their budget amount was for 2021.
I'll second that.
Yeah.
Okay, motion and a second. Any other discussion on that point?
What was the amount, Al?
It was
$1,500
for 2021 was $1,500 for the Historic Preservation Society, and Friends of Fort Fisher was $1,500.
So your motion was to leave on that?
Leave them exactly what we got
here. Sorry. Thank you.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. You got what you need, Arlen?
So I assume Island of Lights is to leave that way.
Yes. I'll make a motion that we fund them just like we have for the last 4 years.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Okay, one last thing, which is the Help Center. So they have not submitted a request, as I noted there, since actually the last one we received was fiscal year 2019. We typically said we would give one extra time and we would fund them. We did a second one because of COVID last year, so we funded them at $1,500. So again, we have not received a request from them, so I'm not sure what council would like to do in regard to the help center.
Yeah, and I'm the one that pushes them. Well, maybe not by myself, but I encourage council to them. You know, they do great work. I wish they were more organized, but I know that admin and Parks and Rec have done a great job this year with running at least three or four different three food runs to help them. I really wish they were more organized because they should ask for help. I don't know why they don't.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Well, I think it's a, they get great volunteers, but they're not, they don't have someone that is keeping them on task of when to ask people, in my opinion. I mean,
do we send something out asking if?
Nikki, we can publish it on the website.
But Nikki, don't you have a pretty good relationship with the people that are running it now? I mean, more of a direct contact with them?
Yeah, I would.
Who's your contact, Nikki?
Ann Martin.
Okay.
Yeah. If they don't need the money, we don't need, I know that's not the case.
Yeah, I know they need, that's the issue, is I know they need the money, they don't know to ask for it, right? And so, I don't know if they don't understand the process or what, and I haven't really reached out to them, so I'm not, I don't know. But I just, it's something that for me, feeding people is like a basic thing. If we're going to support any, all this other stuff is nice, historic stuff and everything. Isle of Lice is really nice, right? Friends of Fort Fisher, but making sure people have food is worthwhile in my mind from our small town.
They do put out a request, I think on a monthly basis, to the churches for a food drive, because the Church of Weaver Canyon on the island will have, okay, sure, this week is peanut butter and cereal, next week
sure
is
sure
different, you know, canned veggies a week after that, and the churches collect a yep lot of non-perishable food that goes to the health center.
And many of the churches respond to that, as St. Paul's does and the others. What's your feeling, that they should get the $1,500 anyway?
That's just my input, but I agree with Arlen that we've let someone ride for 2 years, so I'm kind of mixed on it. I just think that of all the stuff we support, that seems to me a very noble one.
And that supports people at Curry Beach as well. That's not like this is a Pleasure Island item.
Right.
Let's fund them one more year and have another conversation. Try to have a better conversation with them about the process.
Yeah. Well, let me have a motion.
I make a motion that we fund them for $1,500 as last year, and that we direct the Parks and Rec department head to reach out to them, one, on our process, and two, if they have a monthly list, they should share that with the two towns too, because we could put that on our website or something well.
And
our citizens have reached way out when we ask them.
Yeah, and maybe Nick, you can help them get through the process with a little more hand to hand.
And I would tell you, if you buy every item on their request, it's less than $30.
Right.
So anybody can go out and get every item on that request and submit it to the help center if they wish.
Well, I just know our citizens have stepped up. If they really need it, if they give us the list, I'm sure we could share with our citizens and they would.
Sure.
You know,
they'd respond.
Because I looked out of our door when we had the three drives, and you know, it was awesome, the amount of response from our citizens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last year, we donated over $15,000 from the citizens and six truckloads of food.
Mm-hmm.
And the one we just did, financially, was less. It was only like $500, but it was two very full truckloads of food.
Yeah.
We just took last week.
Okay. So we have a motion. Did we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. And then, of course, the senior center hasn't requested, and we haven't provided. So I guess we're done with that one. Because our people have to actually pay to use that senior center, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works, but they have not asked for any funding since 2018, I guess. We funded them 1 year past the last request. So.
Okay. All right. So do you have everything you need for this page?
Yeah, and the Pleasure Island Sea Turtle Project is actually in John's budget, and they actually asked for a little bit less because they're only going to rent one ATV or something to the beach this year, so they reduced their request a little bit.
All right. Okay. Do I have a motion to give them what they request?
Make a motion to keep it as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
What page now?
If we want to the next one, slide 9, I just made you go on with the general fund legal.
So, Mandy, you and I will put together a response to go to Debbie on a request for 42.
This year, what we have coming, any projects we're going to be working on, and things like that. And we've rearranged the line items and how we're billing it quite a bit, according to some advice from Arlen, on how to set it up better for us for billing. I have a total of $82,400 in my general fund budget for town attorney expenses. I've got $500 in there for travel, $300 for court fees, and then I've got $24,000 of that for professional legal services, which would be like P&Z items. And we could have some things come up with the historic district. We could have some cases on that. And then for general fund, or excuse me, water fund. I don't have any of my P&Z cost in that anymore. We used to always split the attorney 50-50 between general fund and water fund, but we've changed that this year. So the only amount I have billed in the water fund is the $15,200. Part of that court and research fees, $500 for travel, and then the rest would be legal service as the town attorney.
And I'll just add on to that. We were always splitting the attorney retainer 50-50 between the general fund and water and sewer fund. And as we've made some changes now with legal, looking more at what percentage of time is really spent in the water and sewer fund, and we're trying to fine-tune that a little bit better. So this year, with the change with the town attorney, we've put 80% of that expected cost into the general fund and 20% to the water and sewer fund.
Okay.
Hopefully it stays that way.
And then my next one is emergency management. I budgeted $2,500 last year for incidentals and things we may need in phone cost, and I just kept it at $2,500 this year. And then...
One thing on emergency management, does that... What's all included in that? Is that just our blasts, or is that if you have to go to a motel room, or I mean, like when Nancy, Florence, we had to scatter you guys.
Yeah, no, it's for material.
No, that's for like supplies and materials that I provide for the town. Like if I go to the town and stock up on different things that we might need, or I think last year I paid for gas for a generator, refill gas on all three generators. I was able to bill that in there, because I had that money sitting there and it didn't affect the department budgets that were not really budgeted for that. So things like that that could come up.
These are generally recoverable items, right?
Possibly in some way.
Possibly in some way.
Yeah. So out of the last 5 years...
Wait a minute. The attorney's over here.
Yeah. Out of
the last, that's illegal.
Yeah, out of the last 4 or 5 years, we've only spent it in 1 year, really, significantly.
It's things like if we run the town generator and there's a disaster, we had a federal disaster, you know, we can reimburse the cost of using our generators, which should cover the fuel costs and, right. and other things. But there's set rates from FEMA that
Right. I mean, there's a use cost and the fee and the gas cost, right?
I'm sorry, right?
There's a use cost and the cost of running.
One per hour charge for, and it's all based on the size of the generator.
Oh, okay. All right. So there's a formula. It's not actual. It's a formula.
Right. And how long did we actually run each generator and all of that? So we do hopefully recover these items, but not per se that it's like it was Excel or something.
Got it. Now I understand why you answered that way. Okay. Got it.
And it has, I think, only 1 year that we've actually used that amount in there. And then, lastly for me, another slide, is elections. And we do have elections this year. And the estimate that they sent me is the $3,700 for the fiscal year 2022 municipal elections.
So to reelect some of the folks, it's going to cost $3,700 to use this place. Okay. That's funny. They use our place, but we have to pay them $3,700. Okay.
Well, you can see last year when it was a federal and statewide election, mm-hmm. it didn't cost. It's only in the off years. Which the legislature tried to change that. I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad they're separated, honestly. But I know the legislature had a move to change that to line them all up, which failed. Which I think is good for the town so you don't get stuff mixed
up. Have gone back to yeah. the way it used to be because they didn't like it after they got yeah. there. With the,
on
the
I think it allows people to focus on the local elections yeah. better personally.
Okay.
That's it for me.
That's it. Any questions for Mandy on any of these items that we haven't covered already? Okay. Thank you, Mandy. Let's see, what's next? Oh, finance.
So I'll start with that general fund finance on slide 9. The biggest increase is new software. I know, you know, council gave instruction to work on that this year. It is being worked on at this point. It's, you know, looking at some demos from different software at this point. But to actually implement, you know, best cases next year sometime, because we, again, fitting it into the right time period between all the different requirements, and also factored in is that we have to run two accounting systems for a period of time also. So I'm still budgeting for the annual maintenance cost for our existing system, but also for the purchase of a new system.
And part of the evaluation is that the water meter system feeds in directly?
Part of the whole thing is, again, starting with the primary focus, which is, you know, accounting, budgeting, accounts mm-hmm. payable, all of that. But then, and utility billing is just as important as all of that, and that everything fits together and that we automate as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So, again, not taking our existing process and trying to fit it new system into how we do it now, but actually looking at how we make our existing processes better and more efficient. So that's being factored into each one that we look at so far. And my plan is to kind of narrow it down to maybe at least two, and then bring in other departments at that point, because some of these have other modules that we may want to consider, whether it be some have parks and rec modules for different things, or there's also, and I know we just implemented a new work order mm-hmm. process, but some of them have work order modules also. So, but I'd rather focus on getting the best fits for the true mm-hmm. financial part, and then, you know, take a look at the add-ons after
well,
that.
My question was, is it going to be compatible with what Jimmy put in?
Oh, yeah. That's a requirement. I mean, and a lot of it's going to be just some reprogramming in a way, but yeah, I mean, there's no doubt if it's not compatible, we don't do it.
Yeah,
I mean that.
All right, does my past experience when new systems are put in, it's going to mean additional work for your staff. Have you factored in any overtime for anybody for your staff?
I haven't factored in any overtime at this point. I mean, there's a lot of what the different companies will do in regard to conversion. And then it's also looking at how many years do we want to convert from the existing system into the old, and most of the proposals are based on converting 3 years. And we'll have ways to save our data from a, one, we may have access to the old system for a number of years and just not getting any upgrades in the maintenance of the system. But if not, we'll be able to download all the data and keep it in an Excel format that if we actually need something from a prior year, that we should be able to access it. But yeah, I've not factored in actually.
The big thing is, guys, that since payroll's done through paychecks, that's a biggie when you, they won't have to worry about.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, and I definitely would not consider, you know, every one of these soft, just as our existing software has a payroll module, I would not even suggest that we bring payroll in house, that we keep it the way we have and use a third party.
If you're happy with this too.
So that's the main change, and that $55,000 is my estimate for half of the cost. The other half is in the Water and Sewer Fund finance budget. And I'd also show a decrease in unemployment insurance, looking at just history and trends. Just, you know, you never know what's going to happen. We've also had some, not to go into details, but we appealed two charges against our account. And so Mandy and I did that. We won each appeal. So that's part of the reason for bringing the estimated cost down also. But again, you never know what's going to happen sometimes. So, but based on history, it seemed like a wise, prudent thing to bring it down. I think on slide 12, I mean, water and sewer finance, basically comparable items to the general fund finance. A little increase in postage. I think the rate went up, I guess, that we pay from 50 cents to 51. So, you know, mailing out the water sewer bills has caused us to increase to postage. Anybody have any questions?
Not for me.
Water sewer fund finance?
Move on.
Right.
Next up, I have committees. What I do is I send out requests to primarily just the two committees, which are the Shoreline Access and Beach Protection, and then the Bike Ped Committee. P&Z and Historic Preservation is included as part of John's budget, so he had that in his budget, expenses for those committees. So what came in, I'll start with, I'm not sure if anyone wants to speak on this, about the committees, but I'll start with, I think, at least with Shoreline Access and Beach Protection. They asked for $5,200 primarily for beach location signs and just general replacement signs throughout the town.
Yeah, John Batson and I rode the beach. All the beach access signs, no dogs on the beach signs, are faded, destroyed. Everything pretty much needs to be replaced. And Jenny, I think had a conversation with you. Who was supposed to order the signs? Was it going to be Dennis or you? But we try to get everything replaced, hopefully by mid-May, and just have some extra signs on hand if there's any damage. Also, potentially looking forward, if there's no beach renourishment and we have a storm, you know, we can get the signs replaced pretty rapidly after a storm. SLAP now has a running Excel spreadsheet of every beach access, each sign at each back beach access, so we can, and we'll start tracking how long the signs last, if they get washed out, faded, anything like that, so we can keep on going, moving forward.
I had a discussion with Dennis and with Jim, and directed Dennis to make sure he maintains that list and orders the signs, and then Jimmy will put them up. Dennis has said he would have the complete list of signs available for your meeting tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
And, yeah, for everybody to vote on them. And if we need more than this, it's actually going to be in this year's budget, not in next year's budget, so.
Yeah.
They have not used funds in this current budget.
Yeah. So Chief Kennedy is going to meet with us tomorrow also, so we can kind of narrow down the numbering going forward for the beach accesses north of the pier, south of the pier, so we can get better emergency response for any incident on the beach. So hopefully we'll have all that done tomorrow. for an idea of how we're going to proceed forward with the new lifeguard stands, so we can get the sounds on the new lifeguard stands.
So,
but yes, SLAP will maintain that. That's right. Going to become a responsibility of SLAP, is to maintain that spreadsheet, drive it beginning of the season, mid-season, and then end of the season, so we know constantly where we are with any issues that go on.
So I think that works well. Jimmy will do what needs to get done, but people need to give him the materials, or at least the signs. So, okay. So I'm okay with the shoreline access and beach protection. Everybody?
Yes.
Okay. So year to year, that's the same? I didn't.
For that actual committee, they're up a little bit from last year, but it's consistent with prior years. So.
Okay. All right. Okay. Next is the bike ped. You want to speak to any of that, Mo?
Yeah. So last year we asked for a budget for Bike Walk NC registration, and we kind of lucked out because it was virtual. It was only $50 a person, so everybody got to attend. Next year, we don't know whether, or in, you know, November of this year, if it's actually going to be virtual again. They might have virtual and in person. So we're still asking for the $1,500 and hoping that those who can attend will be able to attend. And if more people want to attend than what that will, cover, then maybe they'll take the extra out of their pocket if they want to go in person, which I definitely would want to go in person. The signage for the Spot Lane connector in Settlers Lane, it's not just about people coming from the north to the south. We have residents requesting that live south of K to get safely to the Island Greenway. So it would be nice to have signage that directs them that way. Then we're also asking, since 2022 is going to be our big celebration in Curry Beach, that because of Bike Month being in May, we would like to really put on some educational events and spend some money that way to, maybe not do the extensive bike rodeo that Carolina Beach does, but there are other organizations that could help us that we could possibly get free helmets to give out to kids and, you know, that type of thing. So that's why we're asking for that amount. The Spot Lane connector, I don't know if that paving is included in our budget or if it's included with Public Works when they're paving the rest of the town. But because of doing the substrate and not just throwing some pavement down, but doing it the right way that will be efficient and also be, you know, good for years to come. The cost that we got into that was $11,500.
Well, let's answer your question on that one point first, Mo. So we're
that's included in the committee budget.
It is included in the committee budget.
On the slide there, under bike ped, it lists the components that Mo was just talking about. The first is that I just kind of summarize the training signs and public education, $2,750. So that covered the first couple things that she mentioned.
Right.
And then the third item there is the $11,500 for paving of the walking path.
Okay. Yep. All right. So I understood to them asking for it. I thought maybe so it would get transferred from there to Jimmy once it got done, if it got done.
Well, no. I would keep it here. I mean, it does. I just kind of allocated it out to where it was asked for, and I guess since it's not actual street paving, I kept it in this request. It's
okay.
Part of the overall proposal that Jimmy got from the paving company.
Right.
But it's not street paving, so I kept it in the committee.
It'll be under the contract when we sign the contract for street paving.
Okay.
But Arlen's right to keep it separate because you can't use PAL funds.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Okay. So that is the reason, and you can't use the PAL funds. Okay. Good. All right. So that answers the question. It would be in your budget.
Okay. Thank you. And then the last thing on the list that we had was, since we did the walk audit, and we have the crosswalks on Fort Fisher, but we don't have any crosswalk signage or the flashing lights like they have in Carolina Beach. So we've done some investigation. We've looked at different companies that provide those type of items. And the one thing we have to make sure of is that when our town is ready to move in that direction, that we're dealing with a company that NCDOT approves.
Sure.
Because we looked at some different ones that were like super cheap, but if NCDOT doesn't approve them, that's, you know, worthless. So the ones that Carolina Beach have, I think they cost them $18,000 maybe per crosswalk. Theirs have all the bells and whistles. So that's why we thought if we had three, that would be about $60,000 to provide three. Now, here's the other catch. It's no problem for NCDOT for us to put those where we already have a dedicated crosswalk. And so from our walk audit, in our minds, we're thinking M is very important because of the post office being there. Mm-hmm. Even though quite a few people have said N, but you don't really want one. I don't think you want them that close together. So M would be priority. We need one south of K on Fort Fisher. And so there's two places that are priority. I think that I would be priority because of the street parking on I. On the west side of Fort Fisher, but also that is not a handicap accessible one. So it'd be nice to have one at E because that's handicap accessible. And then I just said three, but this fourth one I think we're going to have to address eventually, and that's on K. Either K and 6, Settlers Lane, to get the people from south of K to north of K and vice versa safely. They're asking for it. And I actually have, these are all the emails that we've gotten from our town residents that have come into our KB Bike Ped Committee email. So that's where I stand.
Okay. M, I, and E would be your priorities, and K later?
Well, K we can't do right now only because we don't have a crosswalk there yet.
Okay.
So that would be the first step to put the crosswalk.
Okay.
And then, you know, but M, E,
okay,
and I.
All right. Is this... based on your opinion, is this ROT stuff? No?
I think that would be
another stretch.
A stretch for ROT.
Well, I keep stretching for that. Okay. Any questions for Mo?
Are these the flashing signs?
They're the ones with the... So DOT, that's the information. They have said to us it's their goal to work with surrounding beach communities to determine the safe and viable options for the high level of pedestrian traffic.
Here you go.
Also, you know,
maybe Commissioner Ellen can tell us, we're in the running to get our bike ped plan, comprehensive plan, paid for through the WMPO, I think.
Yes, it's on that list, but it's they haven't either, I mean, they've approved it to be on the list to get funded, but they haven't said it's in particular 90% or 85% or 20%.
Well, according to what Abby Lorenzo said to me, it is 100%, but she would let us know sometime in April, maybe. Do you have a meeting in April? But, I mean, that's really a good place to start out also, to have our bike ped plan options.
I know they funded the number at 100% of the request in the plan. I don't know the percentage of the plan coming to fruition. You know, is it real high on the list or in the middle? It's on the list. Our monthly meeting is the last Wednesday, so we won't have April opportunity until the last Wednesday of April.
This just in the budget process, correct? You're on our next year's budget, basically.
I was wondering why you asked that question about the flashing lights.
I'm slightly fond of them.
Do what?
I'm slightly fond of them.
The guys, the bike ped committee spent a lot of time doing the walk of it and trying to analyze what to do. We did find some areas that we feel like we need to tweak some of our crosswalks, because some of them don't really lead to anywhere. But after you get to M Avenue and South, that's where we get the majority of people that walk to the beach and try to get over to the boardwalk area and the downtown area. And now with our parking across the street too, I think it would be wise to put something in. It's a vote. I would definitely support it if the rest of the council would be so inclined. I think it's a good place to start.
This is clearly for... This is primarily for our residents, people who are walking to the beach. I mean, there's a ton of people who cross that street to get to the beach, then get back to their home. One of the reasons we went to 25 miles per hour, and it was a little bit of discussion on that, as to did that make sense or did it not make sense. I understand the concern. I know that those blinking lights get my attention when I'm driving and somebody gets on them, much more than just the signs. I mean, if the cash was available, I don't know, we'll have to figure that out, I think at some point in time, we're going to have to do something better than we're doing today, in my opinion. But that's my opinion.
Well, so I'm in favor, but for council, the cash is not available, so it's half a cent. So that's what it is, right, for this one thing. And as we look through all the other priorities, as Arlen's presented at the very beginning, we cannot fund everything that we have approved without a tax increase as the budget stands. This is a half cent. So just council needs to realize that. If we direct the finance officer to put it in, that's a half cent tax increase for three crosswalks. That's what it is. I'm fine either way, right? So I agree with Craig and Alan, that our citizens benefit from places to cross. The one issue is that they cross at every place on 421, not just at these three crosswalks. But it will slow traffic down some more, which makes breaks for people. So, I can support it, but just realize that it is, with all the other stuff, it's a half a cent. That's what it is on the tax rate, which is $21 per household. as Arlen showed in slide 32 when we get there.
Oh, I haven't been there yet. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't know.
We'll get there on the expense side. Yeah. I mean, on the revenue side.
Yeah,
we'll get
side, right.
Well, we're getting ready to get to that.
One thing, too, is the committee will explore any other type of grants or any type of funding.
Right.
And hopefully NCDOT will help participate some in this.
That's right.
I can't count on that, but hopefully they will be able to participate in that. So, I'll make a motion that we accept the Bike Ped Committee as presented, budget as presented.
Did you have the opportunity to look? I'm sorry. We'll get right back to that, Alan. Did you have the opportunity to look at grants and things like that?
Yes. In fact, I spoke with Adrian Harrington of Smart Moves Consulting, and she sent me a list of four different, you know, websites to go to look at them. So that is, you know, available.
That is an option.
Mm-hmm. Adrian was on the WMPO. She was a staff member to the WMPO committee when I was on that committee.
Okay. Are there any other questions for Mo before then I'll ask him to repeat his motion? Any other questions for Mo?
I will just make the comment that I support crosswalks, I support signage, blinking lights, and everything towards safety. But please don't go away from this meeting thinking that that solved all safety problems. We all drive up and down that road out. And you come to crosswalks, or you're walking yourself, and you see somebody in a crosswalk, and cars just zip right past you, even in the marked crosswalks. Mm-hmm. So it's not a panacea. I don't want people to think that all of this improvement, yes, I think it will help, but it's not going to totally do away with the issue of cars going through crosswalks and jeopardizing people, pedestrians.
I agree. It doesn't stop people from stepping right in just because the light's on and a car's within 5 feet and they can't possibly stop. But
there's a number.
But I mean, it is. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
Well, because I'm up and down the road a lot on my bike, I see a lot of people up in Carolina Beach where these flashing lights are, and they'll be standing at the crosswalk where there's a flashing light. They're getting ready to cross, but they don't push the button.
I've seen that too. But I see people use it quite a bit as well, right? I mean, you're going to, there's ups and downs. The question is, does it have value, and what significant value does it have? And I think, unless you have studies from DOT that have a lot of information in them where they factually have said, you know, you're right, it's not a panacea. It doesn't prevent some things. Does it prevent one thing? I mean, I really don't know. To me, my opinion is it'd probably be safer. But so any other discussion for Mo before we ask Alan to repeat his motion? Or...
And I just wanted to repeat, too, that we're asking for three, but we still want to keep in our mind that K is going to be important at some point.
In the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, they want to get over here.
Yeah. Understood.
Well, I think we have to start somewhere. So I'll again repeat my motion to fund the three areas for the Bike Ped Committee for training, signage, and public education. Three solar crosswalk panels, signs, and the paving of the spot lane connector.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Now, the second says we put it in the budget. It doesn't necessarily say it's approved. We need to understand the entire budget then, but so Arlen knows how to handle this is what we're voting on right now. So, all in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Okay, Arlen, if you'd put it in the budget, we have to see the impact. So, Mo, I want to tell you, you have support. It's going to come down to what's available. So, I want you to tell the bike ped committee, we appreciate the work they're doing, and we're going to try.
Okay. We appreciate that.
All right. Thank you.
So just to clarify, right now, all of that is included in what's
proposed. Right, here. Right.
So a couple of the last couple of things for the general fund, debt service. Slight decrease. We just haven't added any significant loans this current year, and we'll continue to pay down some of the existing loans, so there's a decrease there.
Arlen, are we paying ahead, or are we...
We're not paying ahead.
We're not paying ahead. We're just meeting our obligations.
Right.
Okay.
We don't really have a big advantage of, you know, the reason to pay ahead at this point. So yeah. Most of our rates are pretty good.
Very low.
We have a couple that are in the 4% range related to the oceanfront park. Yeah. Everything else is...
two.
With rate. I mean, yeah, in the twos or even, you know, ones. So it's...
Yeah, I wouldn't be hasty with those.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times you'll hear local governments that refinance their general obligation bonds and that type of thing and save tremendous amounts of money. We got rates, Arlen and I talked about it, we got rates so low, it really doesn't pay us to refinance.
Okay.
The next area is tax collection, really no change here, just the kind of normal increase in the tax base, even though a revaluation is not really going to change the amount we pay. It's all based on the actual tax.
So this is what we pay the county to collect
the
taxes.
To collect our taxes and bill our taxes.
Right. Okay,
and,
that's right.
And by far, we're getting, I'll say we're getting a good deal. The last thing we want to do is do it ourselves because it costs a lot more than that.
Okay. It's a little itchy to me, but I understand you're absolutely correct. I don't want to do it ourselves. It costs more.
Next item is a paid parking program. What I've done is for the upcoming fiscal years to put in a estimated cost of $200,000. All I did was look at what's been proposed to start the program and just, you know, increasing that some for next year.
Mm-hmm. Do we think that's conservative at all? I think their costs were estimated at 180, but we anticipate other costs.
Yeah, I thought that was conservative to bump it up a little bit.
Okay, I think it makes sense.
Right.
I think it makes sense.
And if we have, you know, as we get better information through this process and that number needs to change, it will definitely change it. So, that was just a rough guess at this point.
I really think that's a good number. Because we did go ahead and purchase those machines, used machines, much cheaper than going through the other process, which was in the 180 or something. So I like the number you picked, Arlen. I support that.
And we still will have for this current year a budget amendment coming at whether it's the April meeting or May meeting to actually get it all adjusted for this current fiscal year we're in right now.
Okay.
The next line is transfers. Right now there's no transfer to the Beach Protection Fund included. That'll be something the council has to decide whether they want to transfer funds in. And contingency right now, there's no amount included in this budget proposal for a contingency. We didn't have one for this current fiscal year either. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the general fund expenses in total. I don't know if anybody has any questions on those last couple areas that we just covered.
No.
No questions, sir.
And the next two slides we've really already covered. They're just with the various departments, Jimmy and then Mandy mm-hmm. and I covering the Water and Sewer Fund and then Jimmy covering the Stormwater Fund. So that's the three main funds that we pretty much focus on during our budget process. And the expense side of those funds.
Arlen and Jimmy, the stormwater fund, that's the only project we're talking about, the pipe back here on the fire lanes on Moxley Park. Is any other projects in
there? There's 200, right? It's just $200,000 for capital outlay improvements.
Okay, but there's no other major stormwater projects.
Yeah, everything else is maintenance.
Yeah, everything else.
Repair maintenance is what the standard budget is off of.
Yeah, we of about 55,000 in for maintenance, and then there's your line item for supplies and. Mm-hmm. Anybody have any other questions on the expense budget?
Yes, sir.
Any other funds?
No. Nope. None here. Any anything else?
No.
Okay. Now we're gonna pop to the other end. Which so page do you want to start on?
Well, I guess we could go to slide 14, I guess, and well, actually, 15. So before we actually get into the revenue budgets, I just thought I'd throw out a little bit of information about two things in particular. One is the revaluation of property. So I just put some general information up there that, you know, it's required by law that it's property revalued at least once every 8 years. Starting with the last appraisal, the reevaluation that was done in 2017, New Hanover County moved to a 4-year cycle, so the plan on, from this point, or that point forward, is to revalue every 4 years. And I just threw down there kind of what I took from somewhere that, you know, why do they reappraise property, and it's just really to rebalance everything in a way, based on current market values and, you know, the different types of properties. So it's supposed to be an equity adjustment, basically. So what I have on the next page is what our tax base looks like. And when we talk about revaluation, we're really talking about that first line, which is the real property. And what I put there is what our actual was prior to revaluation. So for the current fiscal year, what was actually assessed, the values are assessed, is that first column, so the prior to revaluation. Second column is the projections that we have received from the New Hanover County Tax Department of our property values now. So with real property, you see we've had a significant increase from basically 890 million up to 1.225 billion. So a $335 million increase, or 37.7%.
And does the county say when they're going to finalize that, right? Because I know now people are appealing. So do they give us a...
Well, the next update is due later this week, actually. And it'll be the last one for the budget.
Can you get all the data like you did before?
Well,
they didn't want to do that?
They just give a summary or whatever at this point. And I think until they work through the... I think the appeal process is open until sometime in May.
Right.
Is it May 31st, I think?
Yeah, it sounds right.
Yeah, I forget the exact, but their committee or board or whatever that does the appeals is in session until sometime in May.
Okay.
So what they've already done here, when they're giving us that $1.225 billion, is to look at the history of, or this is what, again, what I've been told is, the history of appeals in the past revaluations,
okay.
And they factored that in.
Okay, so they've already put it down on the scale a little bit.
Right.
Okay. Let's stop for a moment. Is lunch ready?
They're setting it up now.
They're setting it up now?
So
okay.
Just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I mean, we can go ahead. Once we can finish the rest of the revaluation, I mean, it's only a little bit more information.
Yeah, I think.
Okay, then let's do that. I just wanted to know if we wanted to start with that, but... We can
the next two slides, I think,
yeah.
And then that'd be a perfect break.
That'll help. That'll be a
you can ponder,
give something to
data.
Chew on.
Yeah, exactly right. Something to ponder on.
So the other categories of property that are included in our valuation, again, are estimates. As you see, they're estimated amounts from the tax department. And I can't really explain why they're, you know, saying that personal property and business personal property are going to decrease. That's just their estimates at this point, based on, I guess everything has to be submitted sometime in January for that type of property, so I guess they've been evaluating that. Motor vehicles is coming from DMV, I guess the values, because they bill all of that. And then state appraised is things like what AT&T or whoever other utilities own within the town, and that's handled separately also. So there are the other categories, less significant, except for maybe motor vehicles, but the key thing is the real property, and that's what's subject to the revaluation. So I guess overall, we're projected our total tax base be up 36.3%. Do you have any questions on that? So the next slide, slide 17, just shows the real property piece. And I, what I've done here is shown for the municipalities and other areas within the county of what their valuation was prior to the revaluation and what it is now, or the estimated what it is now. And that next column, the percent of total revalued property. So all I did there was look at the Perkiomen Beach, for example, our share of the total revalued, of the total revalued property is 2.9%. To get an idea how we fit into the total county picture and all the other municipalities. Next column is the change in value from after the revaluation in dollars, and the last column is the percentage change. So for us, that first line is exactly what's on the other page for real property, but I thought it would be useful to show us in relation to the other towns and other areas within the county. So it is interesting that overall we're the second lowest overall increase, and I know that can be misleading or whatever.
Right.
Well, yeah, I think Carolina Beach is, what, about 6,000 people, 6,500?
Yeah, I'm not sure what their population. I mean, at one point, I know it was the high fives. So I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, I think it was about, they're about three times our size, but they are not three times the value of our property.
Well, I think that's, so there's two interesting points about this, right? So I went round and round, because when I first saw this, when Arlen sent out, it didn't make any sense to me. Because I had talked with Arlen about this before, and I thought that our value, but when you totalize everything, the issue is undeveloped properties, right? So as John Basson would tell you, we get 20 new properties a year, right? Something like that.
How many?
26, right? Mm-hmm. And so in the last 3 years, since the last revaluation, or 4 years, I guess, technically, we've had 80 properties. But if you look at Wilmington, on River Lights, had 8,000 properties,
right?
And if you look at Carolina Beach, they've had probably 1,000, probably 200, maybe not that many, maybe a little less. But the issue is the added properties is why it's driving that. So if that's why I want to go back and look at what the typical home changes are, because I still think that the county will shift. The county tax rate will shift to the beaches, I think. But maybe these new properties will fix that. I don't know. I haven't been able to get my head around it. But I was really surprised at the data when Arlen presented it this way. So, because initially I was very much that, hey, we should write the article about everyone upset about paid parking. Well, wait a minute. The money you pay to the county is going to be less than the money our citizens are going to pay.
Yeah.
With reevaluation. I still think that's true, but I haven't been able to tease it out. And so if you look at the average property, there's more properties paying in these other places because of just development. I think. That's what I think. And I think that's why it went up the way it did. If you break it down to the individual property owner, what I think you'll see is that it's going to be less at the individual property owner in Wilmington and the fire district than in the three beach communities. That's what I believe. But I haven't had a chance to do the data yet. I've got the data, Arlen, and mm-hmm. I have access to it, so we're looking at it.
When you say percent of total New Hanover County revalued property, that's just the number of units, or is that based on the dollars?
That's based on the dollars.
It's all dollars.
That's based
that's
on the dollars.
Issue.
Okay.
It's all dollars.
So, I mean, I think you and I are saying the same thing, just arriving at it from different directions, that we are taking a significant burden.
That's what I think. I mean, this doesn't show it that way because it's in total value, but I think it's the new properties in those 7 years skew the data a lot.
You're right.
So I think you need to look at existing properties to see what happens, and that's what I'll do. That's what Arlen and I talked about doing. And we have some data, so we can look at some property. You know, we'll find a typical property in Riceville, Carolina, Curie and then in Wilmington in the fire district and see what happened to them, right? An existing property, not a new property.
Right, right. If you could, you know, you're right.
Yeah. Just so council's aware of what's happening.
Yeah. But that's, with that work that was done, can you actually, I guess you can isolate it to address.
Yeah.
Okay. Won't be easy.
No, I'll take out all the new properties.
Yeah.
So if anything changed property by more than 50%, you assume they built on it.
Yep.
You take all those out and then you go back and redo what he did.
Right.
You can do that.
Okay. That would be interesting because
yeah.
That certainly would be a way to talk to our county officials. Yeah. Because they would want to show us this 2.9%.
Of course. Right. Oh, yeah, exactly.
And at this point, I mean, at least I haven't heard anything what the county may be looking at.
I haven't heard anything either. The rumor is they want to be revenue neutral, but I haven't heard that. I mean, obviously I've heard it, but not from anyone officially.
Yeah, I haven't heard it from any commissioners.
Sure.
Well, you know, in the last couple of years, they have reduced the tax rate a little bit. The last couple.
Exactly
years.
Right. Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Well, except for the 1 year, it was just got moved.
It
got shifted from what looked like the county tax rate to something called debt service.
Debt service, so that's part of our tax.
Yeah, so, right. So in that regard,
yeah.
It was,
that was a pretty interesting move, actually. Didn't change the tax rate, we changed the debt service rate.
Actually, they added it.
I know that, they added it, right.
Does anybody have any questions on this at this point?
Yeah, back on slide 15, third bullet, reestablish the fairness of the tax burden. I'm trying to understand what the word fairness means.
Well, that's a good question. That's kind of standard. I pulled that, I think, out of the county, the meeting we had in it. Basically, it's saying that they're trying to redistribute, make it equitable based on what the now supposed market value of property is. So I think it's too.
If you have $1 million house sitting beside a $500,000 house, basically that's twice the tax rate. But they both use the road, they both use water, they both use electricity coming through there. And the person in the $1 million home may be older and whatever, he doesn't even use as much services as the $500,000 home, but he's paying much more than that.
But that's just the nature of ad valorem tax, which is.
I agree, the nature is nothing fair about it.
But also, too, that house is sitting in Fury Beach versus another part of the county are paying a fair share of what that collects. You're going to pay more to be in certain places.
I just have trouble with calling it fair.
That's where I plagiarized off of.
Yeah.
But I knew that wasn't your work.
But supposedly, that is to
be advised that whatever they do, that whatever they do, 65% of the taxes you pay go to the county, and that could even change depending on what they do with these numbers. And what we do with these numbers. But we're only impacting the Curie Beach portion of this, and I hope our citizens will have to understand that.
Well, the New Hanover County population increase and the number of homes and expensive homes up there in River Lights and all through there has just been phenomenal in the last couple of years.
That's what I think drove the Arlen's last slide, right? So I haven't had a chance to look at it, but that's my feel, right? Because it doesn't feel like that tells the whole story. I appreciate Arlen pulling out that way so we can see it, but I think we'll talk more because when I'm sitting in a hotel room in Hickory, I'll get bored and then I'll pull out the data and at least tell you what I see from taking out all the developed properties across the five tax districts in the county.
I should know this. Is Fire District the unincorporated area?
That's exactly
okay. Okay.
That's what they call it.
Yeah. Cool. What was the population ad, John, from the WMPO? Do you remember?
It doesn't bother me. I was just curious.
No. Of New Hanover County?
Yeah.
It's like 224, 240, I mean, somewhere.
So a quarter of a million people?
Yeah.
That sounds right. I mean, I don't know, but it sounds right.
Okay. I mean, that would be another interesting point to see what the growth has been in population. But okay.
Is there just one fire district in the county?
Yeah. Exactly. And so that's all that's not in the incorporated city limits of Bloomington, New Hanover,
right? A lot of times you got different, some counties.
Yeah, there's only one. There's only one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's only one. Yeah. Make the motion we break for lunch at this
point. We want to cover just this one. This is just the last piece or whatever. And it's okay. It's how do we get to that, what I first started out with when I said revenue neutral tax rate.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's really just a formula, and it's first looking at what is our average growth in the tax base since the last revaluation. So ours has been 1.57%. Our current tax rate is 34 cents per $100 of value. And our last tax levy for this current fiscal year was the, see that $924 million divided by 100 times the tax rate gives you the tax levy of 3.143 million. The next step is what would be our expected tax levy if the revaluation didn't occur? And it's really just taking the last tax base times that growth factor and then times the current tax rate of 34 cents. So if we didn't have a revaluation, we would expect that we would have a tax levy of the $3,192,860. So then it's just taking that number and dividing it by the new tax base to come up with your revenue neutral number. And that's where that 25.35 cents comes from. So it's actually a reduction of 8.65 cents. So that's, when they talk about revenue neutral, it's like, what is the tax rate to make the tax levy the same as what it would be prior to revaluation?
So the this says the change is up 38%, but this would suggest what? A 33% reduction, right? 34 to 25, about one third.
Right. Well, there's other fact, you know, the other components of the tax base that come into play also.
Okay. Okay. One last question on the real property. That includes the business properties and the that's all real property.
All real property.
How much did business properties go up? They went up more, didn't they?
We have it by property value. We have it by zone. Right. Yeah,
I have some summary. I don't have it in front of me, though, actually, right now. I sent it out to council when it first came out, so, but I think the percentage increase for commercial property was higher than it was for residential, but not by a lot.
Okay. I was trying to remember if it was like a 40% number.
But I think for us it was, if I remember, that commercial property is only about 3% or so of the
balance. That's right. It's not a big, right. big part of the base. Okay.
Yeah, so
okay. The numbers kind of connect.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Now I'll make a motion we break for lunch since it's ready.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
1 hour, 45 minutes. How long, man?
However long you want.
2 weeks. Well, let's make phone calls. Good. Why don't we have it till
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. Yes, sir.
We currently stand about 240,000.
240,000?
The current rate is projected to go.
Very good.
I pay attention to the county census.
I don't know, sure. I should.